radio. Turn the speakers up, man, it's time to start the show. John Tanner, Ryan Righteous, DJ Jeremiah. We bringing the heat, man, this joint be fire. Like, bruh, we in the field, we in the field. Bruh, we in the field, we in the field. Just put it in work, we raising the bar. You tuned in to the track starts.
Yeah, back in the field with the track stars, Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, DJ Jeremiah. How y'all doing today?
Good, man.
Glad good, good, good. Sure. Man, sitting in today, we got Shane Kidd and we got Zara Josh. How y'all fellas doing?
Doing good.
Doing solid.
Thank you guys for being here, man. Appreciate you all. Appreciate you guys. Jeremiah, how was your week?
Good, man. Good. Coming back from Florida.
Yeah, we got Maya sitting in. Happy birthday, Maya.
Happy birthday, Maya.
Hey, peeps. How y'all doing? And thanks for the birthday wishes, too. Appreciate that.
Yes. Celebrating the birthday. And y'all had a good week?
Yeah, it was good. It was just very, very relaxing and stuff like that. So, yeah, man. And, you know, our interviews on Kingdom Ox with Mike Teasy dropped this week.
Okay.
We're going to have Pastor Damien next week, which should be fun and stuff like that. If you've been a friend to the show, you know who he is. So
yeah, I enjoyed the Mike Teasy interview. Plain James, we got you in the building. How you doing, sir?
Good as always, man. No complaints.
Yeah, I had a light week too, man. I think the craziest thing I probably did this week was send a letter to my fraternity denouncing my affiliation.
Whoa. Oh, snap.
Yeah, this week.
What?
Yeah.
Finally.
April Fools.
Right.
Are you playing?
I'm not.
Okay, so okay. What sparked this?
Please. You know what, man? Personal.
The Holy Spirit.
Sure.
Man.
Sure.
Man, go ahead, Ryan.
Sure. Definitely the Holy Spirit. Having some conversations and somebody reminded me like to just go look up some things, you know. And I went back and I did some research.
I had to take somebody else. They say go look up some things when we've been telling the exact same thing.
Well, here's the thing, though. I've always said I haven't been affiliated in 13 years, so it was like something I brushed under the rug. I mean, I didn't wear the paraphernalia. I wasn't doing anything with a chapter or anything. So I was just like, well, you know, it is what it is. So, it really made me kind of go back and look at it, man, with my kids. You know, the different things that they watch and the different things that they listen to and, you know, how we sit down and we do Bible study with them at night and we talk to them about Christ and we talk to them about, you know, just being a sovereign God and just how holy he is. And I was thinking to myself, like, I definitely don't want them to pick up on my bad habits. So if I've created an altar before God in my household, then I need to tear that altar down. You know what I'm saying? So and I read, you know, what our mascot was about, and it was completely against my own beliefs and understandings of who I am as a person, who God made me to be. But I still got some good friends that I would say, even family members that are in my fraternity. So I won't say anyone else's. Yeah, that in my ex-fraternity.
Make it plain.
So I won't say anything about, you know, what I think they should do versus what I was personally led to.
So, Ryan, the chat is saying, did the Marcus Rogers video persuade you?
See.
Did he do a video? I didn't know he did the video.
Oh,
he did a video on Greeks.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I am not surprised.
I did not see that.
That's why I asked, though, because at the end of the day, it has to be a personal conviction, not pressure from the chat or your co-host.
So good.
It had to be between you and the Lord. Yeah. So
y'all been calling me to do this like since I joined. Like, Sean was like, you just pledged for what? Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know.
Interesting enough, there's actually a good video from a non-Christian named Cam James that he did on fraternities and sororities that honestly even explained, like, just even if you're not a Christian, like, why would you want to be a part of an organization that to be a part of it, you have to be so humiliated, torn down.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Before to be associated with it. And so even just from that standpoint, it's like. It made sense.
You hit it. That's exactly what I put in my letter. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, as a Christian, I feel like my understanding is that I'm a part of a royal priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't talk down to me and you can't belittle me in a way where I'm just going to take that. Right. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they got the letter and was like, this brother ain't been paying dues?
Like, what is this Ryan?
That had to be it. That had to be it, man. That had to be it.
Who's this Ryan Moore?
But, yeah, that's my personal little tidbit for the week,
bro,
man.
Congrats.
So, we got a great show today. Shout out to Sean, man. He was here yesterday. Mm-hmm. Putting together just things in the studio, cleaning it up, making it look nice. He had to travel this week, so I told him just take some time off. I'm actually traveling tomorrow. So, you know, as we take this these opportunities, man, we got great, co-hosts like James and Shania that sit in with us. And so it gives us a chance to kind of rotate around the table. Jeremiah's had some time off. I had some time off. It's only right that Sean gets some time off, too.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
Thank you all for being here. So we got an interesting show, man. Lecrae had Will Smith on the deep end, y'all. Let's check out what Lecrae had to say, or what Will Smith had to say to Lecrae.
So my personal belief is, you know, I was raised, you know, with an Old Testament grandmother,
right?
You know, so
GG,
yeah, you know, so my way and my deepest understanding is biblical, you know, but I've read the Quran from cover to cover,
yeah,
during Ramadan 2 years ago,
yeah.
You know, I read the Bhagavad Gita from cover to cover, I read the teachings of the Buddha. So, you know, if I had to say what my religion is, I would take the Muhammad Ali quote, and my religion is love, right? I believe in the oneness and the possibility of harmony between people who are all reaching for the one truth.
Yeah.
There's a line in the same record we were just talking about. It says, we're just a room full of sinners reaching for the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And I just love that line, you know, because everybody wants to hold on to some kind of comparative superiority.
For sure.
And you know, what has been beautiful for me in the past couple of years is the loss of my illusion of moral superiority.
Like you're better than everyone else.
Yeah, being humbled into the place that I'm not better than nobody.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
And it's like, it's so beautiful. You know, it's brutal and beautiful.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
So what y'all think about that?
Oh, man, I think so many things. I think it's important as Christians that we do approach people with a humble approach and not such a dogmatic, like, I'm right, you're wrong, because scripture tell you that a brother offended is hard to win. So these are people who have based their whole life, their worldview, the way they raised their children, everything off a particular frame of mind or particular worldview. So to come in and just smash that disrespectfully probably is not the best method. So a lot of times when I hear people frame religion all together and they say these different things, I can understand where they're getting it from, because when you look at certain people who may be Christians or whatever, they do come off kind of harsh and kind of aggressive and kind of pushing their particular worldview on people without taking into consideration how somebody came to believe what they believe. I think the danger is when you have people who look at Christianity that way and they just throw it in the pile with everything else. I think for us, it should give us more initiative to want to really just do better at how we articulate and share the gospel. What ends up happening more often than not, Christians get offended and start bashing people because they don't agree with the worldview. So I just think we got to start having open ears and listening to why people feel the way they feel. And when we approach people with the word, keep these things in mind. Like, I like to do apologetics. So with apologetics, what I tend to do, I like to ask more questions than I make statements. Because when you come and try to force your opinion on somebody, they're more likely to want to disagree with if they believe something different. But if I ask you a set of questions and you answer the questions on your own, you're essentially walking yourself into a truth as opposed to me feeling like I got to push it on you.
Mm-hmm.
So he just kind of like an example of many people today. They have a bunch of different, they pick what they like out of different religions and they form their own approach to it and create their own, they create their own religion and their own way they want it because people don't want a lot of resistance. At the end, he was saying that he got humbled. But I just hope on his journey, as he continues to be humbled, it leads him to Christ as opposed to just feeling like I've been humbled, so now I can do what I want to do.
I think the thing is, you're absolutely right, Plain, because I was about to just drop down. But I think you're absolutely right. Like, you give people the benefit of the doubt. The only thing I'm nervous about is when people mix stuff together and people like when you mix different religions together,
syncretism.
But I think at the same time, the dangers of that is the complacency of I'm good, and that's the scary part, because the average person that says, hey man, I don't believe in nothing, you know what I mean, we have a conversation, boom, that's cool. But when you have somebody who is like, yeah, I believe in Jesus, yeah, I believe in Buddha too, and it's like, that's a hard person to penetrate, because it's like, you believe in everything. You know what I'm saying? It's not like somebody that's like, yo, man, I don't believe in that stuff. Let's have a conversation. Da, da, da. But somebody stand firm. Like, it's not like he's standing firm and I just believe in the gospel of love or the religion of love. Let's love everybody. Let's be kind. Yeah, it's that as Christians, we should love everybody. We should have a kind heart towards people. But we also should be like, man, bro, okay, this is what, okay, you believe that? Okay, fine, you believe that. What do you think about Jesus? And you know what I mean? Have those kind of, like you said, conversations. But I think the danger from it is it's an example to other people to say, hey, I could do that too. Mm-hmm. And that's the scary part about it.
Mm-hmm. He looks successful. It's like whatever he's doing is working because we don't know how to properly view success for him.
Yeah.
Do you think he's dealing with what Kanye is dealing with, where you got a lot of yes men around you, so the discipleship is harder to get?
I don't think there's no discipleship. I think like you said, I think it's just synchronism. I could take from this religion. If Islam gives me peace, I'm gonna take peace. If Christianity is about love, I'm gonna take love. I'm gonna take this from Buddha. I'm gonna take this from that. And this
take
is my
discipline
religion.
From Islam. Yeah.
So you don't think that before he did the song with Maverick City, they had a conversation about what this is gonna look like and
honestly,
what do you believe?
Honestly,
like that just to me felt
weird. I think they just had like. In my opinion, just being real, they was like, oh, Will want to do a record with us? Let's do a record with him. They may have prayed with him. They may have said, hey, let's pray before we do it and all this other stuff. But I think, like, when you listen to the album, I went and go check out the album. It's just, it's all over the place. It's like his album that came out is all over the place. It's a place where he's, like, saying some crazy stuff. And then we saw a freestyle recently where he's talking about my ancestors telling me, you know, I'm good. Like, it's like I said, I think we're in the era of, the religious and the not religious, the righteous and ratchet, and you can do both. You know what I mean? It's no more longer that you got to be one or the other. It's now it's like I can do both and I'm good.
People are just like cherry picking their faith and like what they want to take away, what they want to keep, and that's aspect of it when that isn't the Christian life, where it's like again you have to take all that comes with it. And it's interesting enough because, like, Will is saying some valuable truths in it, but also coming from a different perspective. Like, again, the language of, like, saying, like, we're all sinners searching for the Holy Ghost is, like, it can resonate with, like, Ecclesiastes in chapter 3 when it talks about all men's hearts long for eternity. Mm-hmm. And so, but the thing is recognizing, like, what is that eternal itch that you're trying to scratch, and people have, that's why we have so different religions. And even going back to your point of apologetics, it's like recognizing, like, when we talk to people, making sure it's not like becoming a conquest, but more of a connection. Like, how are we connecting together? How are we inviting curiosity into the conversation, especially if these are people that we're trying to introduce to the faith? I think Jesus was a good example of, like, asking questions of people and leading in those conversations. At the same time, also knowing when to also be direct in those conversations and letting you know, it's like, what you think that what you think is truthful is not the complete picture.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
I wonder how much of, he said Old Testament grammar. I wonder how much of that experience kind of framed the way he looked at the Bible and Christianity. Because he mentioned reading all these books. I don't want to assume he read the Bible, but when you got somebody who's quoting the Bible, but you may have felt like they were had a certain level of harshness. I don't know what that relationship was like, but I just wonder how much that relationship with his grandmother, I'm pretty sure he has some respect for her, but I wonder if it made him feel like he was closed in, because the Bible can be used to do a lot of great things, but if used incorrectly, it can also give a false interpretation of what God really intended for it to do, which is provide freedom through Christ.
Right.
You can make you feel like with slavery, like they used it to enslave people, even though the African slaves knew better. Yeah, you know, even though most slaves knew better because Christianity existed in Africa before slavery. But when this constantly getting beat down, they're using this book, some people probably didn't have a strong enough mind to decipher what was going on. And so it was used. And now to this day, we still have people that think Christianity is a white man religion because it was used incorrectly.
Right. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. And I think that the issue is that, you know, when you have so many different people telling you, you know, how great you are, like you said, he said he had to humble himself. In his mind, he's probably thought that he's figured out most of what he needs to know in life, right? Mm-hmm. And so if I become this superstar, you know, actor, and I have all these different things in front of me, why haven't I also been able to understand everything there is to know about God or this universe or whatever? So, you know, I think he has a lot of challenges ahead of him right now, and he needs to, you know, be discipled. I mean, it's like he's around too many people who seem to know the word and understand the gospel. I want to see this full interview. I know it came out yesterday. I didn't get a chance to see it. Did Lecrae hold him accountable to anything? Did he have anything to say about it?
I got to see the whole interview.
Okay.
And so I will just speak strictly for the interview because that's all I know.
Yeah.
And so it's like, in that, it just sounds like he was just engaging in the conversation with him, kind of like relating certain things that he did say back to the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there was not necessarily any pushback on like some of the things that met like the conversation he had about intersecting like the other faiths and all that stuff. And so, yeah. Now, what happened behind the scenes? Definitely don't know, because I've known Cray to like have behind the scenes conversations with people and like go deeper. Off camera into those conversations, so not for sure.
Yeah. Zara, what about you? Your thoughts on it?
Yeah, just picking back off of what you were saying, James, like, picking back off what you were saying as far as like his relation with his grandmother and like his whole framework as far as her kind of teaching primarily from the Old Testament, like, I feel like you can't just speak from that side of the theology. You got to bring in the New Testament as well, and I feel like if like that was the framework where it was just Old Testament, that's probably why he feels the way he does about Christianity in relation to the rest of the religions that he named. But you bring like the Holy Spirit and Jesus, that adds a whole other aspect to
right
it, and then a freedom aspect, really. So
my prayer for him is that he just continues to be around people that will challenge him on that.
That was what I was coming from, because there are two things that has to happen. Number one, he needs to have people in his life, strong Christians in his life, that he actually respects and that he's willing to submit to.
Yeah.
Because discipleship is a two-way street. You can have people around you all day long that are willing to challenge and correct you, but if you're not open to receive it, and with Will Smith, I don't think there are a lot of people that are open to receive it. I think that there are some people that it's like, they're so enamored with who he is, and quite honestly, he's probably used to being around people that are so enamored with who he is that he can't necessarily receive from them. But I'm thinking there needs to be people around him that he's willing to receive from, and that he needs to be in a posture to receive from them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, right. So it's proximity of people around him, but then also his own heart condition where he's open to receive, because I think still there's an element of, I don't know him. What I'm getting, though, is false humility, where it's like I am realizing that I don't know everything, that not everyone knows everything, that we need to be, you know, in that state of humility. But I don't believe he's come to the end of himself yet. I feel like he still is trying this and trying that and trying to recover here and trying to get buy-in from these people over here as he basically rebuilds his career, honestly. Yeah. But I don't believe that he has legitimately and genuinely been brought to the end of himself. I think he's still trying to personally hold things together just based on his own name, reputation, and his own definition of success.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think he hasn't come to the end of himself. When you come to the end of yourself, that's usually when the Holy Spirit steps in. I also think with LeCrae, people are skeptical of the way he might have approached it. You got to think this is a man within the last few years has been publicly humiliated on several different levels. His wife continuously says crazy stuff about him. People talk about the way they raised their kids. He slapped a man on the show and lost a lot of opportunities and stuff, you know. So it's like to be brought on a podcast with a Christian, if he were to be aggressive as far as his approach and try to say, nah, bro, you wrong, did this and that, like, that could be another thing that kind of just pushing him. Because right now what I hear is somebody who's on a journey, but he's almost on an island because so many people have had so many views and opinions on his decisions and his family and his marriage and all this. So it's like it has to be a level of trust that has to be established to where I can actually hear somebody else without feeling judged or people feeling like they know me for real when they really don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You know?
Well, check out this next clip, man. We had Damon Wayans on the Club Shay Shay this week. So y'all check out what he had to say.
You were, your family was raised Jehovah Witness. And there are a lot of the Jacksons, Prince, Biggie, Terrence Howard, Ja Rule, Naomi Campbell. Explain to me, because I don't really hold, all I know is that we closed the door in a lot of them things. Because when they come right out,
I was one of them things.
So what do you think your mom and dad were drawn to about this religion?
Well, my dad was drawn to it. My mother was not. My dad just knew it was the truth. You know? And so the kingdom we pray for, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. What is the name? It's not God, it's Jehovah.
Right.
Let your kingdom come. What is that kingdom? Who's the king?
Right.
Jesus.
Right.
Let your will be done. What's the will? As it is in heaven on earth. That's the will. Is that we live in unity and be God. So man has plans, God has a purpose. So, you know, I believe that. And you look at, all you got to do is read the news and then read 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. And you see, it's what it says, how people will be in these days. The critical times, hard to deal with, lovers of money, self-assuming, haughty, blasphemous, having a form of godly devotion, proving false to his power. This is where we are today.
Right. Are you still a practicing Jehovah?
Yes. And I love it. You know, I think it the greatest feeling you'll have is to be at peace with God and peace with man, because that puts you at peace with yourself. Because my prayers aren't, God, forgive me. No, thank you. Thank you for my family. Thank you for this journey. It's nothing but like gratitude, because I ain't living a life that I got to apologize for. There was a time I was wild. Couldn't even pray. Never mind. You don't want to hear this.
What y'all think about that statement?
Man, so I had some Jehovah's Witnesses recently come to my door. It was two older women. And I invite them in. I've been having Bible study with them.
That Friday clip.
Yeah, I've been having. Are you ready for Jehovah's return? Yeah, I've been having Bible study with them for probably the last month. They come in, we talk, discuss the scriptures, and I said this before. Their doctrine is completely incorrect and wrong, but I do have a respect for their zeal and their passion to want to share what they believe their truth to be. They don't believe that Jesus is God. They believe that He's the Son of God. And you can show them several scriptures. You can bring up the scripture in Isaiah. You can bring up the scripture in Colossians. You can bring up John chapter 1. You could talk about in Genesis where it said, let us create men in our image. You can bring these scriptures up, but they're going to hold on to that stance of Jesus was created, even though the Bible says all things were created through him. It's just a lot of things. So for somebody who hears that, it sounds good what he's saying. Like, cause some of the things he mentioned in scripture, like the Bible does talk about these times and things of that nature. But if you don't understand positionally who Jesus is, it kind of throws everything out of the window. If you don't believe that Jesus is God, if you don't believe in, people have a problem with the word Trinity, because one thing they said to me was the word Trinity is only a couple hundred years old. Okay, we'll use the word Godhead. Mm-hmm. If you have a problem with the Godhead, if you don't believe in the triune God, as far as God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit being one, three mm-hmm. entities functioning together, it'll throw off your whole theology. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's the danger with that. Once again, like, rat poison is 99% food and 1% poison. But that 1% poison is enough to kill you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you got to make sure that when you're reading the Bible, you're not just reading, but you study to show yourself approved, because certain things can sound misleading. Like, you could think it's you on the same boat, mm-hmm. but you're going in a different direction.
Here's the thing. I think people don't realize is that Jehovah's Witness, they have their own Bible translation. It's called the New World Translation mm-hmm. of the Holy Scriptures.
I got it on my phone.
So I think a lot of people thinking, like, when somebody like you have something in their house and they, hey, let's read the Bible together. They're like, yeah, of course. Let's go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they have their own translation.
Yeah.
And so it's like, when you have your own translation, it's saying something that you kind of like knowing the script of what they're supposed to say to people when they have.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the things that like kind of Plain was saying. It's like, it sounds like if I'm listening to him, if I'm listening to what he's saying, like I saw a clip and I think I shared this clip. Of him just talking about that, but not talking about Jehovah's Witness,
you
would think mm-hmm. he's a Christian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I didn't see that clip. I saw the one you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, but if you see the whole clip, you'll be like, oh, he's a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
And that's why so many people think Jehovah's Witness are Christians, because they think, oh, there's Jesus. They believe in Jesus too. They believe in God. They believe in that. But when you dig deeper into their theology of what they believe in, they don't believe Jesus. Like he said, Jesus is God.
Yeah.
They don't believe everybody going to heaven. They only believe a certain amount of people going to heaven. So it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, wow. You know what I mean? So I think it's really for us as Christians to study ourselves approved, because at the end of the day, that's what will help you when you get in these conversations with the 5%ers, when you get in with Hebrew Israelites, with these folks.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know the word of God for yourself so that it doesn't sound, you won't get duped. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I was in college, I had a friend that was Jehovah's Witness, and I would go over her house and she would want to study because she knew I was a Christian. And I did, she was like, you know, you don't have to bring your Bible. And I was like, oh, okay, that's what we own. So I don't have to bring my Bible, but you got yours. And I knew the translation was different. So,
yeah
she was trying to get me. And she was very passionate about it. I think I even remember her crying one time when I was just like, I'm not sitting down for this.
But it's not like, you know how, it's not like the NIV, NLT. It's not like that. It's their version of the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
I got that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's omissions and everything.
Yeah. So that's why it's so easy. So, like, I remember one time somebody came to my house, and I had a conversation with them, and I was like, yo, let's pray. And I prayed, and I said, in the name of Jesus. They was like, oh. I don't even know if I said in that pray. If I remember clearly, she didn't want me to pray because she didn't know what I was praying to.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, I'm praying for Jesus. She was like, well, we really don't do that. So I was like, well, you guys have a good. I mean, but I did make a good impression on her, because she said out of all the people, Christians that she's met, I was the most one that really had a conversation and talked.
Their argument is they feel like we undermine the Father. We focus on Jesus, but we don't give the Father. I said, that's not the case.
Yeah.
I said, our Father, which y'all did, like, Jesus, when he walked on earth as a man, he said, my purpose is to do the will of my Father. We honor the Father. But we don't undermine the Father. We feel like y'all undermine Jesus, as if he's not God. So that's where the dilemma is, when several scripture just points to it, that he is, in fact, God.
What did you think about him saying, I pray gratefulness and not forgiveness?
I think you need to pray both.
Yeah. Well, he was saying he hasn't done anything wrong because his lifestyle has changed from when he thought he was a sinner.
You got a false sense of security.
Like the false humility, like you were saying before, like you can't like live your life like that, because that's a form of being a non-repentant.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because like there's things that we do. Like, we don't even, like, think that we're doing sin, but we're still in sin.
Right.
So we have to, like, constantly, like, pray and be repentant. So, like, that's not a good stance to be in either.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is, like, what you said, just not having that heart of repentance.
Because
he was like, because maybe in his eyes as a Jehovah's Witness is like you said, if I don't believe in Jesus like that, as God, then I'm like, what I need to repent for?
Yeah.
Right.
I just need to be grateful for what God has given me.
Yeah. I think there's some problems with different levels. Like, we talked about it with Will, talked about it with Oprah, and you talked about it with this family as well, you know, a billionaire family. there's problems when people get to a certain level and they start believing that it's because they know the right thing, right? Mm-hmm. And they could be completely off from it and still just like look around and see their success and think this is because I'm doing everything right. I know I'm 100% yeah. right. And I think that's just so dangerous. So yeah. dangerous.
It's but the thing about it is, what doesn't help that is when people come into the church and we give a celebrity just this status in the church as if they just arrived, like you'll let a Tyler Perry get on your pulpit and preach, or if you got a certain amount of money, we honor you and praise you in the church, and their relationship with God may not even exist.
Yeah.
So the church doesn't do anything to combat that because we're celebrity driven. It's not about your anointing or God or things of that nature. If you got enough money, they're going to praise you. That's just our culture. So mm-hmm. we got to stop doing that. We got to stop just making people feel like they're okay where they're at just because they have a certain level of stature or success in the eyes of man, because true success is being in the will of God. Like, but we say that, but then if a Kanye walk in the room, you're going to treat him better than you treat your average Christian rapper or if, whoever come in. It's like, oh, man, like Will Smith came in. Oh, man, it's Will Smith, man. Have a seat, this and that. But mm-hmm. if it's a Christian rapper down the road who you don't really don't know, you shouldn't treat Will Smith better than you treat him. They're both human beings, but that's right. what we do in our culture. We idolize people.
Right, yeah, yeah. Shane, did you have anything you want to say on it?
Not much. Y'all did a good job of that conversation. Probably the one thing that I would add is, like, just even recognizing, I think it seems like what is so attractive about the Jehovah's Witness to a lot of to them, or even like some of those ideas, is that seems like that sense of discipline, that sense of like mm-hmm. structure and everything. And it's like it just speaks to like human nature of like wanting that sense of control, kind of like how y'all talked about, how kind of like how you mentioned, like how people feel like, oh, I did this, I did, you know, I did these things, and this is why I'm successful. It's like I can point to certain things. And whereas the Christian faith is very much so about surrender and letting go of control.
Yes. Yes.
And so it's easy to feel like, especially when it sounds so similar mm-hmm. to Christianity, to be enticed by that.
Yeah, yeah. So the Artist Friday was on Cam Newton's Funky Fridays. Let's hear what he had to say about the Christian church.
With your roots in gospel, can we ever see an all gospel album?
Nah, I'm cool.
Why?
I'm like, I listen to gospel music, like, just to pray. Like, I don't really like, it's not something I'm riding around to. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I inspire, like, I would challenge a lot of gospel artists to just write how you talk. Jesus just be saying some weird shit in the songs, like, it's not even how you talk. Like, the holy waters of water is the mountains of the highest. Like, you get what I'm trying to say? It's like,
I'm with you, bro.
And I listen to that when I get in my place to go pray, but it's like, bro, just make some real music. Like, God, I ain't it right now. Like, I'm dirty-ish. I need, like, you feel me?
Yeah.
And like, I feel like I'm doing the music. I'm putting it in a way where it's anybody can receive it.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm doing it. Bro, I ain't gonna lie, bro. The church be on some weird sometimes, bro. And I love the church. But the same thing they put on Kirk, that's the same thing Jesus got.
Mm.
You gotta think, Jesus was never like, when you heard Jesus at the temple all day, all week.
Never. He was in the whorehouse. He was in—
with the prostitutes.
Yeah.
With all these, bro, and it's like, bro, you're not gonna touch the world staying in the church.
Mm.
Bro, you go to a church, it's just all these church people, like, they don't be doing this outside. They don't go to schools, they don't go to the clubs, they don't go nowhere else to speak to the people but the church. So guess who you see at the church? The same people you see in your whole life. If you go to your, if yes. I go to my home back home church, I'ma see the same people. Like, it's been 30 years. You never see somebody like, oh, yeah. I remember you was clubbing, bro. I remember we used to hoop together, bro.
Yeah.
Good shit, bro, we in the church now. Like, you never see a new face.
Mm.
It's cause these not doing what, you feel me?
They call that outreach.
They don't do that, bro. And it's like, the church is the most judgmental people you could ever think of. And like, if Jesus was here today, bro, they would stone, they would be on. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing with a prostitute?
Yeah.
Why is Jesus hugging a prostitute? Shade on.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual world.
Yeah.
You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So like, it's like when you growing up in it, you forced to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you listen to what they saying, ain't we supposed to be bringing new souls in? Why is we not bringing new souls in? I just be like, yo, it's the same people. Everybody f***ed up in this joint. Nobody can't help nobody. The most everybody got is $20. They not teaching it. They not pointing every part out for us to grow and develop in our natural life. Once I realized that, bro, I just always keep a relationship with God, but I noticed, like, as I'm growing up, God is more in the detail of my life than the church. Mm. You get what I'm trying to say?
I hear.
So what y'all think about that?
So I think the first thing, the first emotion you're going to feel as a real believer, especially somebody who does outreach and goes out into the community, the first thing you got to battle through is the offense of feeling like, bro, you really don't know what you're talking about. There's several people out here I know right now, probably outside doing evangelism as we speak. But you got to really analyze what he's saying and how he came to that conclusion if you want to reach him effectively. So That's true. I'm hearing from him is a young man who was probably forced to go to church when he was younger. He saw a lot of people probably doing the same things every week they always do, kind of a lot of performance, a lot of different things. He didn't really understand what was going on. They probably didn't have a lot of money. They felt like the little money they had, they were giving to the church, and they weren't seeing any fruit from that. Going to church, I can say I have been in churches where that has happened, where I have seen that, honestly. I have seen churches who are confined to the four walls, who don't see the need of going out into the community. But what happens is it's dangerous when you start making blanket statements.
Yes.
And then you also have to factor in, this is a young man who's become famous in the eyes of people. He's acquiring money. He's doing different things. So once again, he could fall into the trap that his method and the way that he's doing things is correct. But my challenge to him would be, if you're saying that everybody's about money and things of that nature, I don't know you personally, but what are you doing with your money to contribute to your community? If you feel like this community is so downtrodden and need help and they don't have anything, I hope you're giving back to your community in a way that you feel like the church should do it. Another thing, too, a lot of people are ignorant to the fact that a lot of civil rights, a lot of different movements all started and spurred from the black church.
Right.
So it's like what happens is they look at BET after Uncut go off and you see bruh, you see bruh hollering with the handkerchiefs and the miracle spring water and all this stuff, and they start framing church as that. Or they see the people with the jets and the Bentleys and seeing that, because the people who are probably serving God genuinely with real intent, that's not appealing enough to be on TV. That don't give the oohs and the ahs. But I just want to say there are really people out here who have dedicated their life to Christ who are not concerned with lights and not concerned with fame, not concerned with these things. So that's my thing. But some of the stuff he said was legitimate, because there are some churches out here who do operate in a way where they feel like they're higher and they're better than other people. The same thing going on. I remember I went to a church one time, and like every week around the same time in service, this lady would run around the church and pass out. And then I would look like, man, she do the same thing every. So, like, you know what I'm saying? So it's it's a legitimate statement. But I ain't going to talk too much. I end my statement to say this, like, you got to be real, man. Like, one of my statements I always say is real lives on the end of your words. Like, if you're going to be a Christian, like, be a real one. That's be good. Authentic. Be transparent. Be honest about what you're going through, what Christ did for you. Because people are looking at us like this. And, you know what I'm saying? This is how people, that's how I look at people view Christianity like this.
Right.
So if you're not being real, you're not being transparent, you're not being honest, you're not studying to show yourself approved, you don't have an answer for your faith like Peter told us to have, people are going to walk away with this same thought. So let's have an intelligent faith. Let's have a legit, authentic, real faith that people can say, you know what? Even if I don't agree with what you believe, what you believe, I can respect the fact that you're real about it. Like, let's not try to hide if I'm a Christian or not. Let's try to not try to feel like we got to strategize. Like, the Holy Spirit don't need no help. Just follow him. Right. And he'll guide you in the way of all truth. And give people something real they can attach to. Because otherwise, they're going to keep on thinking we like this.
Yeah, when I was driving here, I passed 4 churches to get here in the mile that I took from getting off the expressway to getting here. And you're right. It is like there's people in all churches, but, you know, they don't necessarily live that way that he explained. And so there is a lot of outreach going on. As a matter of fact, if you come to this studio early enough, you'll see them doing outreach to the community. We feed the community every Saturday. And it's been that way since before. Whoa, man, it's been that way for like 10 years now. Every Saturday, you know, no matter inclement weather, you know, rain, whatever, it's always been like that. So I feel like, yeah. And then here's another thing, too. I heard Cam at one point say, my daddy is a preacher. That was another clip. It wasn't in that one. But he was like, my daddy is a preacher. My daddy pastors a church. Why didn't he correct a lot of what he was saying?
His theology is not really the best. He's somebody who was defending polygamy and stuff on his show, just talking about how men can have a... Like, a lot of times, man, I don't know him personally to say this, but what you see a lot of the time is people who grow up in church who have pastors who are parents and things of that nature, for whatever reason, sometimes it's possible they could have a little bitterness. They might have felt like the church may have took their parents away from them, or they were forced to do something, and now they got a little bit of freedom. So now they look at the scripture and want to interpret it in a way that they want to see it, because they may have felt like their childhood wasn't ideal because there weren't really much grace for the parent, or the parent didn't really understand how to parent for real. They were just so scared that the world was going to snatch their kid that they were just Jesus, 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 and it was a lack of balance probably. So they frame it through that. So now when they got their own point of view, however they want to live sometimes, or what they've been through, or their emotions and their feelings, they factor that into their theology and they just run with that. Because, let's be honest, the truth of Jesus Christ is not appealing to you if you don't have the Holy Spirit for real.
Oh, for real.
All this sacrificing and enduring and pressing and all that kind of stuff, all this resistance you got to go through, that's not appealing to you. But if I let you do whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, that's what you're going to gravitate toward, unless you have the Holy Spirit and you understand the privilege it is to be combined in with Christ.
Yeah. What was interesting to me was, of course, like the music piece, because it's like how he described gospel music, which is truthful in some sense of, like, again, it's very, yeah, it's very doxology, very doxologically driven in that sense of, like, focusing on God. I do feel like there are people that mention suffering, mention hard time, mention those things. I think that also it is one of those things that, to me, it also speaks to the importance of us speaking to the human experience and having those conversations, which makes me think about, you know, the conversation we have in CHH about, you know, people want all these Jesus per minutes and all that stuff. And it's like, well, let me see how Jesus intervenes in your everyday life with the with the struggle of, you know, losing your loved one, dealing with, dealing with That's an autistic good. Kid, dealing with, you know, feeling like you're not the perfect parent, or even just stuff that everybody can relate to, being on a job that you hate, being on a job, being frustrated with the fact that you've been waiting for these things to come through and it hasn't. More like the Psalms, more like what we see in David, like even like Psalm 13, he talks about, how long are you going to abandon me? How long are you going to leave me like this? It's like, I am feeling this anxiety and this depression and all these things. It's like, we see this in the actual scriptures, but when it comes to like the art, we're a little more hesitant towards that. And then the world is like, you know, we'll listen to those people that are relatable to us. But even in that sense, we kind of get hesitant when Christians begin to talk like that. It's like, hold on, you might be being a little too real. And so it's just interesting. It's like, in that aspect of it. So, yeah.
I love how you mentioned that, because I was just speaking with a brother, and he was saying like how the church, like, we are triune beings. But the church needs to appeal to all parts of the believer. And I do feel like that is not something that we're great at. You'll go to one church that's super great at feeding me spiritually, so I understand the spiritual battle. But I have a lot of soul healing that needs to take place. Right. But I'm not getting really help in that area. And then you have the physical aspect, the flesh aspect as well, as far as meeting needs. Now, as far as what he said, I do have I feel like he ain't right, but he ain't wrong either. Mm-hmm. The word says the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Mm-hmm. So even though we see ourselves and our churches doing things, of the 50 churches, I don't see all 50 out there feeding the homeless. I don't see all 50 out there with evangelism teams and stuff like that.
So good.
And I do feel, as an appeal for the body of Christ, all of us, each and every one of us, are called to be evangelists. We were all given the Great Commission. All of us. So we need to be telling people about Jesus on our jobs, like he said, in our everyday lives, not just like blanket statements, but literally discipleship. Jesus said, follow me. He did life on life with people.
Right.
So I do think that's something that the church needs to grow into as well, so that when they do encounter believers that's doing things, they won't necessarily have that perspective all the time.
Yeah, right. I was just going to say two things. I'm sensing a lot of religion, like he's had bad encounters with religion, as most of us have, especially with the Christian faith. But at the same time, that does not, that's not a cosign for you to do whatever you want, for you to live however you want to live. And so I don't know if that's because he doesn't have a personal relationship or if he just had a bad experience and feel like he could do whatever he want. But at the end of the day, that's not the way. And then number two, you can't love Jesus and hate the church. Like, the church is his bride. And so you, if you're in relationship versus religion, then, you know, that needs to be something that where you start to see outside of, like, just the structure of church on Sundays, like, that's an institution. But, like, the church is a people. And so if Amen. You really, really call yourself a Christian, then you got to step out outside of that and be willing to see people as flawed human beings, as we all are. Clearly he is, I am, you are, we are, whatever. Mm-hmm. But to love regardless and to really focus on, okay, I'm going to try to live this thing out despite the dysfunction I may have seen or experienced around me. Because if you serve Christ and you're trying to be like Christ, then that's the goal, regardless of what has happened to you. So just...
You ain't trying to be like me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, that don't mean I'm supposed to live reckless. Like, you know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Mm-hmm. But Paul also confessed, he's like, man, I do what I don't want to do, and what I want to do, I don't. The only person that was flawless in Scripture was Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we still glean from these texts and still learn from them to get an example of what it looks like to try to follow God. So I think you got to humble yourself to the point where you stop looking down at the people around you and having a false expectation of these people to be perfect and say, you know what, they messed up in this area, but I'm messed up in this area. Mm-hmm. We all in this together trying to follow Christ as opposed to using somebody else's flaws as a justification for you to live however you want to live.
But also, do you think that maybe also because of how he may have been taught Christianity of like, it this is almost like this, you have to be practically perfect thing. Mm-hmm. And so in that sense, is like, if that's how you've been taught it and kind of like been conditioned to believe it, so when you see, like, the hypocrisy, the flaws, and all those things, you're like, I don't want any part of that. Do you think that can play a role, too?
Yeah, in the clip, he did say that him and Cam both said that they grew up Pentecostal.
But I think, yeah, I think at the end of the day, man, I feel like you don't, regardless of what people do, you still have to stand firm. Amen. Like, and I've seen that even with in personal relationships with people and different things, like, you still have to stand firm in the faith and find people who will be in that area with you to stand firm. You know what I'm saying? Just because a church is a mess doesn't mean you have to be a mess. You can stand and still live righteous and still live, I'm not saying you're perfect, you can still live a life that pleases the Lord. You know what I'm saying? And then I think another thing, too, I was going to say is, I think the world has a misrepresentation of Jesus. Because every time I keep hearing people talk, it's like, well, Jesus hung out with sinners. He did this, he did that. But but he challenged them to a better life of living.
Sin no more.
Yes. Yeah. And I think we always hear that, and that, especially with our people, because we hear that constantly. Like, yeah, Jesus hung out with prostitutes. He did all this. But Jesus challenged these people to live a life of, like, even if in the midst of them, he was like, yo, yeah, like, don't catch, like, when the young lady was like about to get stoned, and he was like, hey, if y'all without sin cast the first stone, and they didn't, and they walked away, that's not the end of the story. The story goes, I helped you out, but sin no more. You know what I mean? And I think that's what a lot of people don't get no more. Like, they don't finish the story with Jesus. They just stop right there and like, yo, Jesus can set me like the way I am. And it's like, no, bro. Once you meet him, like, he's gonna start picking that stuff that you love that's going against him. So,
you got to walk away changed. But I just wanted to thank you for bringing that up, too. My Lord was not in no whole house. I just needed to say that. Say, come on, y'all. Come on. He was not in the whole house, y'all. So put my Lord there.
He was missional. Like, you know, I think we have a culture now where I can speak from a Christian hip-hop standpoint. This ministry in general, you look online, people are looking for opportunities for them to be seen and be recognized so people can say, I'm powerful, I'm this and that. Jesus was doing the will of his father. So if the will of his father led him to a prostitute, okay. If the will of his father led him to cast out a demon, okay. If the will of the father led you to heal the blind, okay. He wasn't saying, like, look at me, I'm Jesus, and now I got this healing ministry and for the price of $19.99. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't doing that. And so when he was around these people, even the 12 disciples, they all come from a sketchy background. You got tax collectors. Yeah. You got all kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. They were disciples. Like, throughout the 3.5 years, he was discipling them from the standpoint of, when I leave here, I need y'all to carry on this message. They were being disciples. So everything he did was missional. He wasn't just shooting the breeze, just shooting pool and just saying, yeah, y'all just stay and seeing it. I'm cool with it. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't that.
Josh, you said you were going to say something?
Yeah. Like, just going back to what Friday was saying in the clip, like, from how I kind of took from it was that, like, he was saying that he wished that more gospel folks would, like, speak to his experience, like, for, like, folks that were kind of, like, came from the fringe already. So, like, folks that, like, do frequent the clubs, they are in the strip clubs, they are in, like, those fringe areas, like, who from a gospel world is going to speak to that particular experience. I feel like that's what he was kind of, like, asking.
Yeah, I see that they always say that the church is judgmental. Mm-hmm. They always say, oh, it's so judgmental. It's like, no, you don't want to be called out on what you're doing that's wrong. And you don't want to hear the truth when mm-hmm. we bring you the truth.
Right.
And so, you know, a lot of times I think that these folks they would be better off without success. They would be better
off
without success.
Two things could be right at the same time. Yeah. I think that there are some judgmental people, but I do think people don't want to be held accountable at the same time.
For sure.
I think it's a combination.
All people are judgmental. Even by saying someone is judgmental, you are being judgmental.
Yeah, right.
When you couple that judgmentalness, whatever you want to, when you couple that with hypocrisy, that's where the church goes wrong. Because if you acting like you got it all together and looking down on your nose at people, but you don't want to acknowledge that you are a work in progress, that's what pushes people away.
Yeah, right. I heard Cam say one time that, you know, some ladies in his mother's church group tried to talk to her about him, right? Because he's out here, he's representing the church, he's out here talking about he wants to have all these different women. And so they tried to hold her to say, you know, hey, look, this is something your son is saying on a public platform, and it's not right. And then he's like getting upset, like, yeah, they're trying to check my mom and all da da da. And it's like, no, they're not being judgmental. They're really telling your mother the truth that she needs to stand behind. But, you know, it feels like he kind of has a strong arm over his family.
Because he's bringing in the chick.
Yeah, right.
He's bringing in the chick. And
mess up that chick.
And like I said earlier, people bring in their emotions with the text. Like, you can't mix in your emotions and your feelings. Like, the truth of the text is the truth of it. Like, so if your emotions can change it, then it's really not the truth. You know what I'm saying? Like, the truth is something I could take anywhere in the world that's going to remain what it is.
Right.
If I say over here, well, since I talked about your mama, that still ain't true no more, then it no longer is the truth. It's just an opinion.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to hold that and realize that the Bible is the final authority. Like, no matter if your mama going to be wrong sometime. I love my mama. My mama going to be wrong sometime. My daddy going to be wrong. Like, your kid's going to be wrong. Like, you can't just have your emotions and just to shape the truth to whatever you want it to be.
Sure. So, Dulcie.
Before we roll on, Ryan, I got a poll.
Okay, let's hit the poll.
Do you agree with the statement on believers and the church? 12% said absolutely agree with him. 29% said I have seen some of it firsthand. 46% said he's just had a bad experience. And 12% say I disagree, haven't seen that.
Yeah, I mean, I love the chat. The chat seems like they are just really open-minded to, you know, everyone's thoughts and opinions. So I do appreciate the polls. Thank you, Crispy. I do think that you can't judge, you know, a whole group of people by saying that one person doesn't do something. And so that's the biggest thing that, like you said, right before when we started this conversation, you got to get over the offense, right? The offense of what he said. But then also, I worry about younger people that are hearing this, and they're hearing all these celebrities talk about God and talk about the gospel in a way where they're like, oh, I can do this too. You know, that was a big fear, that they're going to lead people astray if we don't get correction soon, really soon. All right, so Dulcie was talking to, she won an award, and she had this to say. Let's go and hear what she said.
We are the creatives. We are the executives, and we are the innovators who are just as central to this industry as the men. Clock it! And I want everybody to hear me clearly when I say that it is not a button, it is our brains. It is not a machine, it is our leadership. It is not a conspiracy, it is our vulnerability. And it is not an agenda, it's God.
All right, what do y'all think about what she said?
First of all, this is Dulcie you're talking about, right? Okay, because I was like, who? What did you? Okay, I was just looking at, we'll have to, make sure we're clear on that name. I think her name is misspelled or mispronounced or something. but
okay,
that's it's Dolci. Okay, thank you. I was like, because I probably said it wrong.
I said I have it as Dolci.
I don't think it's Dolci. An L in there. I think it's a E C H I I.
All right,
but it's all good. I just wanted to make sure I knew who we was talking
about. Oh, it's in the show notes. I just read what I saw.
You good? I just want to make sure I was clear on who we were talking about.
Thank you for correcting it.
I mean, I guess I'll kick it off since
because there is two, right? There's a Dolci and a right. There's two different people.
Isn't it a rapper?
Same person.
Well, she is a rapper. It's 2025. But anyways, all kind of we'll move on. So, okay. I really, really want to like this girl because I'm not going to lie. She's a dope artist. I really, really want to like her. She don't know the Lord, even in the speech. She don't know the Lord, and her life is a contradiction to the word of God. And so I have to start there. Regardless of what her speech said, which sounded all pretty and cute and everything. So I don't want us to be deceived by that. And it could be easy for me to say, oh, it's because she's young and she's impressionable and she's doing whatever she want to do. But at the end of the day, you basically living how you want to live and you want God to co-sign. So I just want if she's really, really professing God, like I really, really am praying that there are people in her life that can like pull her in. To really show her the way, because right now she's like on that Broadway. She's really on that Broadway road that could lead her down many a path, especially with the notoriety that she's gotten in such a short amount of time. So I guess I would say more than anything is like I really am praying for this girl, because like I said, she's super dope. She's super talented. She's just wide open. She open for to everything. Like even if you listen to the speech, it's like a piece of this and a piece of that. It's like femininity mixed with, you know, Christianity mixed with, it's just a lot. So if nothing else, pray for this girl, because like she's super, super dope. But I just want to make it clear, she don't know the Lord, so don't be confused in that
I think she grew up in church. I think she does different things, and like you said, because I remember we did our line for line with her, and like you said, she's a very great talented woman. But like she had a song when she was rapping in tongues, and then she had another song when then she had an album called Coven.
Was she rapping in tongues, or
she was imitating tongues?
Okay, there
so
you go.
She would say she was in tongues, but then she has an album called Coven, like a witch coven, oh, kind of thing, writing sessions, I believe. And she may not make it mean that, but you know what I mean? She may just be on like, she may be like Kendrick, where it's like ratchet and righteousness, you know what I mean? Where you mix the two in, and you know what I mean, different things of that nature. But I think what you said is like, because I remember an interview where she was like, I talked to God, it's always been with me. He's always been. And she like raised in the church and different things of that nature. But she's also bisexual. Then she's different things like that. So it's like, like you said, it's just a mixture of a lot of stuff of different things that people have. And I think the thing that scares me is the people that just go to it because that person's dope. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or go to the person because they're good or they're talented or they say God. And it's like, do y'all know these people? Do y'all really, especially the church? I'm not talking about the world. The world is the world. Mm-hmm. But the church, do you read lyrics of what people are saying? Just because somebody says God doesn't mean that they're right. Really the true living God.
What strikes me, what gets my attention, you said she had an album called Coven.
Yeah.
It's just the amount of these young ladies who do R&B that are like, flirting with occult practices. Yeah. Like, you got an album called Coven. Then we heard Kehlani was doing Santeria. Then you have Summer Walker, who is into the whole E-Fi thing. Then, of course, you know Beyonce is into the E-Fi thing. It's like, what's the other one that's married to Big Sean?
Janae Aiko.
She came out and said she was a witch. Yeah. SZA said she was a witch. It's like, you know, all these women who are the most impactful, influential women in the culture are all saying they're doing witchcraft. So the world is going to be the world. She's in the world. She's not a Christian. She's bisexual. She's doing this. It fit the bill, you know? So it's like, my thing is pray for them that they find Christ.
That's
but
right.
Like Jeremiah said, before the believer, it's like, let's not be so enamored by the talent and the beauty and these things to the point where we sit here and listen to people blatantly say they live a lifestyle opposed to your God. But you enjoy their talent so much. Like,
exactly.
you're a Christian, so you cannot be possessed.
That's it.
I don't believe Christians can be possessed, but you can be oppressed. And trying to live as a Christian in this world is already difficult as it is. So if you got somebody praying a different